Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
The spirit of counsel and might, Ilomakio vela aso, belali koberatilo, ikabalasina maria. Let there be an impartation tonight. Let there be impartations of your spirit. Let there be impartation of the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Let the spirit of counsel and might come upon us tonight. Hold our hands, Spirit of God, and lead us to places in the heavenly realm. Lead us to places in the heavenly realm. Lead us to places in the heavenly realm. Hilomo no sila barakia. Iamalasania konvrekito. Peradia la sina, alailo okai morai lo sina, y amando lo cosila. Oh la mama makata, bando capilo silaka. Oh, thank you, Spirit of God. We give you glory tonight. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the rivers of your Spirit. Thank you for the rivers of revelation tonight. Thank you for the supply of the Spirit of Christ. Thank you for opening to us curtains in the heavenly realm. Thank you for access to go behind the veil. Thank you, Jesus. We behold only Jesus tonight. We are changed into his very glory from one level to another, even by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So please take your seat. Hallelujah. It's good to have you in the house of God. For this is no other place but the house of God and the gates of heaven. The church is the house of God. The church is the gate of heaven. Amen. And so we continue tonight with our series on the spirit realm, angels, demons, and warfare. Hallelujah. And so we began to lay a foundation last week. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so when a man is born again, access is given to him to see the kingdom of God. And as a man begins to behold the kingdom, and as the believer begins to subject himself to the ministry of the word and of the Spirit, that's the water. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. The ministry of the water is the ministry of the word. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 speaks about the washing of water by the word of God. And so Jesus will say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot have progressive access into the kingdom of God. So we began to establish from last week, even from the writings of Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11, he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He said, if you do these things, then entrance, access shall be given unto you abundantly into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It means God wants us to have access into the kingdom. He wants us to be able to see the kingdom. He wants us to be able to enter the kingdom. He wants us to make progress in the life of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so as believers, we must seek to make progress in our spiritual journey. We must seek to access places in God. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So there are places in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus that God wants the believer to access, that God wants the believer to possess. Amen. And so it becomes our responsibility to contend for higher levels of reality in God. There are places in Christ Jesus. There are realms in Christ Jesus. And so God wants us to contend for places in the heavenly realm. Because you may walk in all your journey with God and remain on a spot if you do not contend to make progress in God. And so is our calling to ascend to places. John, speaking in Revelation chapter 4. Can you reduce the volume a little? John speaking in Revelation chapter 4. He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice, a sound like of the trumpet speaking to me and saying, come up hither and I will show you things to come hereafter. John was already in the spirit. John was already in heaven. But you see, I told you, I said, in heaven there are planes, there are dimensions. So even though John was in heaven, there was yet the voice of the trumpet summoning him to come up hither. And he said, and I saw a door open in heaven. The moment that voice summoned him, a door was open to him in heaven. And when he entered the door, behold, he was in the throne room of God. And so you see Revelations, the entire mysteries that unfolds in the book of Revelation is because John was summoned in the spirit. John was already an apostle and a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But something happened to him as he made progress in his journey. There was a summon to come up hither, to ascend places in God. And even though he had been in heaven, seeing things in heaven, it was at that time that he was being called to ascend into the throne room of God. And he began to describe the throne of God like jasper, like sapphire stone. He began to describe all the angels he saw around the throne, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, the rainbow behind the throne, the sea of glass before the throne, the golden altar before the throne. He began to describe all the activities he saw in the throne room. The seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And in the midst of that, he saw a lamp as having seven eyes and seven horns, as though slain. And he said the seven eyes and the seven horns are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And so you will see that John was given access to mysteries. And that began the unfoldings that John came into. He began to see the things that will happen in the last days. He began to see the mystery that happened before time. In Revelation chapter 12, he described how there was war in heaven. How Lucifer mobilized one third of the angels to rebel against God. How Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer. And there was no more place found for Lucifer, and Lucifer was cast into the earth. All of these visions and revelations were unfolded to John because he was summoned to ascend to places in the heavenly realm. Before that time, John had been prophesying. Before that time, John had been speaking and teaching and establishing the saints. But something happened to him as he continued in his pursuit of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Access was given to him. And you will see in the very first chapter and first verse of the book of Revelation, you will hear the scripture talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John, as signified by the angel, to show him and to show his servants the things that must come to pass hereafter. The revelation of what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So the entire book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. Because that's what many people think. When you read about the book of Revelation, you think of the Antichrist, you think of the dragon, you think of what Satan is doing. No, the entire book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ that was shown to John. And so John entered into places in Christ. And he saw the things that transpired before the world began. He saw the rebellion of Lucifer. So he saw the things that were. He saw the things that were happening currently to the seven churches. He received prophetic messages to the seven churches. He saw the things that are at that time. He saw the things that will come to pass. He saw the mysteries that will play out in the earth. How Lucifer will be bound. He saw the battle of Armageddon. He saw the return of the saints, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the golden city, the new Jerusalem. He saw how the end of the age will come. He saw the millennial reign of Christ in the earth. All of these things happened because John was what? Was summoned to come up hither, and access was given to him. And so Peter will say, as you walk with God, you must contend for access to be given to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are called to engage our priesthood to the point where the revelation of Jesus Christ is given to us, to the point where the mysteries of heaven is open to us. That as you engage your priesthood, as you carry out your function as a priest of God, God begins to show you the things that will happen to your children's children. God begins to show you the things that will happen in your life in the next 10 years. God begins to show you the mystery that happened at your birth. God begins to show you the things that happened before the world began. You see, I was praying one day. I was having a retreat. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I laid on the bed and I slept off. And I had a dream, a vision. And the dream, I saw that I was in a place in heaven. And I knew in that dream that I was actually seeing myself in heaven before the foundations of the earth. I knew that I was seeing myself in heaven before I was born. In that dream, I knew that this unfolding was happening even before I was born. And I saw how I and several other people were sent into the earth. You see, there are realities that if you try to explain to people, they will not understand. They will ask you to bring 120 scriptures that validate what you are saying. But God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. He said, before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. It means Jeremiah pre-existed in God. God knew him. He knew God before he was born. And in that dream, I saw how angels were sent with people into the earth. And it was as though I was sent from the heavens into the earth with angelic beings. And as I was coming down from heaven into the earth, coming into this realm, I woke up from that dream and I found that I was sweating profusely. And I saw things that I could not describe. I saw things that I would not be able to explain. You know, Paul said, when it comes to the visions and the revelations of the Lord, he said, I was caught up to paradise. Even though he was speaking, he said, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, who was caught up to paradise. And he saw things that were unlawful for mortal lips to utter. So there were things Paul saw that he did not speak. There were things he concealed in his heart. There were things that he was not allowed to teach men. There were mysteries that Paul saw. And so as we walk with God, God doesn't just want you to know the scripture. The end of our spiritual pursuit and adventure is not just for you to be able to cram John 3:16. It's not just for you to cram scriptures and have it on your head. The scriptures are supposed to be portals into heavenly realities. The study of the Word of God, our fellowship with the Scripture, is supposed to give us access, gateway into spiritual realities. Because I told you that the realm of the Spirit is like a wilderness. There are many ways a man can access the spirit realm, but the only legal way for accessing the spirit realm is by the Spirit of Christ. So any man that enters into the spirit realm outside of Jesus, outside of the Holy Spirit, is an illegal transaction. So God wants us to know the spirit realm. If occult people, if people in witchcraft, in the demonic realm, know the realm of the spirits, and they can strike a man and know that by this time tomorrow, 12 noon, the man will die. It's because they know that realm. Don't you think God wants us to know the realm of the spirit? Because Jesus said, when you are born again, access is given to you to see the kingdom. And when you stay under the influence of the word and the spirits, you are now given access to enter into the kingdom. So to enter into the heavenly realm, that's our destiny. It's not only witches and wizards, sorcerers and diviners that should understand the structure of the spirit realm. The believer is supposed to stay under the influence of the word and the spirit until he begins to have access into the spirit, until he begins to have access to realities behind the veil. God wants us to know that realm. Because Jesus will say, no one has ascended to heaven at any time, but the Son of Man who came from heaven, who also is in heaven. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, right now, as you are looking at me, I am in heaven. John chapter 3, verse 13. So a man can be physically here and be in heaven. Because John was not raptured physically with his mortal body to heaven when he saw the entire revelation that is called the book of Revelation. No, he was physically on the Isle of Patmos. He said, for the tribulation of the gospel, for the sufferings of Christ, he was on the Isle of Patmos. So maybe at the time John was having that encounter, he was there with many people seated in captivity. Just like Ezekiel had his experience in Ezekiel chapter 1. Among the captives by the river Kebar, heaven was open to him to access. So Jesus will say, the Son of Man who is speaking to you right now is in heaven. Because our access to heaven is the Spirit of God that lives in us. So you see in John chapter 5, Jesus will be speaking from verse 19. And say, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but that which he sees the Father doing. And because the Father loves the Son, he shows him whatever he's doing. And the Father will yet show the Son great things that you may marvel. So the Father wants to show you what he's doing. In your walk with God, God wants you to know what he's doing per time. Jesus said, I do no longer call you servant, but friends. And as friends, you confide in each other. Jesus said, the Father shows me what he's doing. I see what the Father is doing. So Jesus wakes up in the morning, spends time in fellowship with the Father, and he begins to download realities from heaven. He begins to see the things that the Father is doing, and then he steps out through the day, carrying out the works of the Father. And so as Jesus goes about preaching the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and disease, he is simply manifesting what he has seen in the realm of the Spirit that the Father is doing. So Jesus will go through the temple at the hour of prayer, pass through the gate beautiful. He will see the crippled man, but he will not heal it. Because he did not see the Father healing the crippled through him. He knew that a time will come that Peter and John will pass through that same gate and they will see the crippled and heal him. I hope you know Jesus did not heal everybody. Jesus did not raise every dead person in his time. Jesus did not heal everybody. There were people Jesus saw them crippled. He looked at them and passed. God was setting a pattern for us that we can only do what we see the Father doing. And then in verse 30, he said, I can of myself do nothing. But as I hear, so I judge. And my judgment is right because I do only what the Father has commanded. So as we walk with God on the earth, we can see what the Father is doing. We can hear what the Father is doing. And then when we step out to do the things that we see the Father do and the things that we hear the Father doing, the Father comes to confirm it. And that's how God has called us to walk. That's why the Bible says seeing eyes and hearing ears are from the Lord. God wants us to have seeing eyes. He wants us to have hearing ears. He wants us to know. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. You see, the prophetic anointing, as we would teach, the prophetic anointing is not only for you to stagger and prophesy and call somebody's name. No. The prophetic anointing primarily is given to the believer to be able to see the kingdom, to be able to hear from the kingdom, to be able to understand the structure of the spirit realm. That's the purpose of the prophetic anointing. It's not just for you to tell somebody's name. It's not just for you to look at somebody and say, this thing is your problem. No, the prophetic anointing is given to us so that we can see the kingdom, so that we can hear from the kingdom, so that we can know what God is doing per time and align with heaven. That's the reason for the prophetic anointing. So every believer has the prophetic anointing resident in his spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. So every believer can prophesy. Every believer can see visions. Every believer can dream dreams. Why? Because you have been brought into the kingdom. The ability to see the kingdom, to hear from the kingdom has been given to you. The ability to access the kingdom has been given to you. How? Through the agency of the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, when God took the spirit that was upon Moses and poured upon the 70 to bear the burden with Moses. You see that in Numbers chapter 11 from verse 25. The Bible says the 68 came out of the camp and there was an impartation. There were two men that was not among them. They were Eldad and Medad. But you see, the scripture says the same impartation happened to them. And the servant of Moses came and said, forbid these ones to prophesy. They were trying to fight for Moses. And said, Moses, these guys are trying to steal your shoe. You are the only person who prophesy in the camp. You are the prophet that we know. How come these two guys are trying to prophesy? Permit us to stop them. And if Moses was like one of us pastors today, they would say, go and stop that guy. Clip his wings. Who is giving the audacity to prophesy when senior prophet is in the house? That's how many pastors are. But Moses said, no, don't stop you. He said, I will that all of God's people were prophets and that God will put his spirit upon them. That was the desire of Moses. I want you to know that the desire of Moses has been fulfilled in the New Testament. God's people are truly prophets. And God has poured his spirit upon them. So God's people can prophesy. God's people can dream dreams. God's people can see vision. The prophetic spirit is inside of you. But it depends on how much you are willing to engage him. When you engage the spirit of life and immortality, he begins to give you access to see. He begins to give you access to hear. He begins to give you access to know. To know the things to come. I have so much to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall take from what is mine and make it known. So the prophetic spirit is inside of you. He can take from the heart of God and transfer it into your heart. You know how you do data transfer? You can either use a USB to transfer data from one system to another, maybe from your phone to your laptop. But you see, there's an upgrade in IT. These days, it's not everything you need data, you need USB for. You can also use Zender. You can use Bluetooth. Through electromagnetic wave, you can transfer data from one system to another. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit is that spirit that can transfer data, information, revelation from the heart of the Father into your heart, from heaven into earth. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed it to us by his spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit gives us access into the depth of God. The Spirit shows us the texture of the spirit realm. You can be in a place physically and discern the spiritual atmosphere. One of the most misunderstood gifts of the Spirit that is so needed in the last days is the gift of the discerning of spirit. Many believers understand word of knowledge. Many believers understand word of wisdom to an extent, prophecy, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of workings of miracle. But one of the most misunderstood revelatory gifts of the Spirit is the gift of the discerning of spirit. It is by this ability of the Holy Spirit that we access the spirit realm. The gift of the discerning of spirit. It is called the discerning of spirits. It is by this ability of the Spirit that we can recognize and understand the operations of the Holy Spirit. The operations of angelic spirit, angels. The operations of demons. The operations of the human spirit is by the discerning of spirit. There is a measure of discernment that comes by maturity in the word. When you stay in the word of God, when you meditate and grow in the word of God, there is a level of discernment that you develop. There is yet another measure of discernment that is a gift of the Spirit. It is by this gift that we see visions. It is by this gift that we dream dreams. That you can be seated where you are and a vision can open before you. Because many believers don't know how the realm of vision work. I tell you, many times you have had visions where you did not know that you were hearing from God. Because there are different levels of vision. There is what is called the open vision. In an open vision, which is also the operation of the discerning of spirit. Because in visions and dreams, you are seeing and hearing in the spirit realm. And so when this ability of the Spirit is working, you can see things. The discerning of spirit goes further than word of knowledge, which is just a knowing, an imparted knowing. Informations and imparted into your heart. You know things supernaturally. You see, the discerning of spirit goes beyond that. The discerning of spirit opens you to a high extent into a visionary experience. And vision is not only when you sit down and then you enter an ecstatic form. So I say there's open vision. An open vision is when you sit down here and you are seeing the physical realm and seeing the spiritual realm at the same time. Your spiritual eyes open so that you can see into the spiritual realm. And in the same way, be able to see into the physical realm. That's an open vision. And it's not every time God gives you that kind of encounter. You may even journey for God all through your life and never have that kind of encounter. Because it is a spectacular encounter. It is an open vision when you sit down and Jesus walks into your room. Or an angel walks into your room. You are seen in the spirit realm. It's like the spirit realm and the physical realm become seamless. You can access the both realms at the same time. That's an open vision. But you see, a closed vision is when you sit down, your physical senses are activated, and then you have a vision in the recess of your heart. That's a closed vision. That's a spiritual vision. Many times we experience that as believers, but our spiritual senses have not been discerned enough, have not been trained enough to discern it. The Bible says strong meat belong to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. You can close your eyes and have a closed vision. You can be in a moment of worship, you just lift up your hands and you enter into a vision. You can access the courtroom of God that way. You can be driving and have a closed vision, a spiritual vision in your heart. Many times a picture pops into your heart, an image comes into your heart. That's a vision. You see, most times closed vision functions like imagination, but it's not your imagination. You are worshiping, you are praying, and then a picture, because it can come in different ways. Just the way in the physical, in understanding technology, in multimedia, we have different multimedia forms. We have still image, we have audio, we have visual, we have audiovisual, right? We also have print. These are different multimedia forms. In the same way, when the discerning of spirit is activated, you can see things in the realm of the spirit in different way. Sometimes it can come as still image. A picture is just imprinted on your heart. That's a close vision. Sometimes it can come as an audio. That's where you hear the voice of the spirit speaking to you inside of you. And most times, the communications of the spirit comes through your human spirit. So most times it's actually your human spirit you hear talking to your soul. It is that experience you have many times where you say, something told me. Something told me. What is that something? Most times it's the voice of your human spirit, also called your conscience. Because the human spirit is divided into three. There is a part called the conscience, which is the voice of the human spirit. There's a part called the intuition, which is that part of the human spirit that brings knowing. There's a part that is meant for fellowship. It is with that part we know God. So many times you actually hear the voice of God coming to you through the voice of your human spirit, the voice of your conscience, and you are saying it's something. If your spirit has not been saturated by the breath of God, many times you will miss that speaking. You will say it's your soul that is talking to you, but it's actually the voice of your human spirit. So the communications of the spirit from within can come as still image, can come in audio form. You hear a voice. Can come in audiovisual. That's when we have an inner vision. A vision where you see and hear. That's audiovisual. Sometimes it can just be a visual. You see something, but you didn't hear anything. That's a vision. It happens inside of your heart. It happens inside of your spirit. And as you begin to develop your inner life as a believer, your ability to interact with the spiritual realm begins to grow stronger and stronger, so that every impulse, every impression from the spirit realm comes with so much conviction. But you see, the average believer does not spend time developing his inner man. We spend time developing our body. We spend time developing our soul. But we do not invest in the development of our spirit. You go to school to educate your mind. You came out with a degree. But you didn't spend time educating your spirit. The spirit man must be educated. The spirit man must be energized and trained. That's what happens when we stay in the Word of God, when we meditate in the Word of God, when we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. The power that is in the Holy Spirit flows into our human spirit to strengthen our spirit. The voice of God flows from the Holy Spirit into our human spirit. And then when it enters into our soul, which is the seat of understanding, you now understand what God is saying. Because God doesn't speak English. God doesn't speak Hausa. The language of God is life and light. God is life. God is light. God does not speak Igbo. So a woman may be in the village who cannot speak English, but she has a strong life of fellowship with God, and she knows the voice of God. So many times, it's as though you hear God in Igbo, or you hear God in Yoruba, or in English. You simply hear God in the language that your human soul has been trained. So a person who speaks Hausa will hear the voice of God in Hausa. A person whose mind has been educated in English will hear the voice of God in English. It doesn't mean God speaks English. The language of God is light. God is light. So when God releases light into your spirit, that light comes into your soul, into your mind. And then your human vocabulary and dictions now translate that light into words that you can receive. It's like when you carry your phone and you send a text message. Do you see the words going in the air? The moment you type your text messages and press send, through electromagnetic wave, it goes. That's like God communicating to us. It's a light that goes. But you see, that wave enters into your phone. Somebody sends a message, it enters into your phone. And then your phone has a converter that converts that electromagnetic signal into letters that you can see. Even when you pick your phone to call, it's the same principle. When the person talks, that voice is converted into electromagnetic wave, and it travels at the speed of sound, and it enters into the phone of the other person as electromagnetic wave. Because your phone in telecommunication, your phone has what we call a modulizer. And so your phone converts that your voice into electromagnetic wave and sends it to the other phone. And the other phone has a demodulizer, so that it converts that electromagnetic wave into what? Into a voice. So you now hear. That's how the communication of God is. When God speaks to you, it's not English God is speaking. The language of God is light. The language of God is life. But when it enters into your spirit, to your soul translates it into the diction, the words, and the language that your human mind has been educated with. So you hear God in English. God has never spoken to me in Hausa. I don't hear God in Hausa, because God is life. When the voice of God comes to me, it is in English. And the level of the education of your mind determines how you are going to interpret what God speaks. So if you see somebody who is very educated, if that person is going to prophesy, his utterance is going to be in a very beautiful English. When somebody who didn't go to school is going to prophesy, he's not suddenly going to begin to speak Queen's English. If he's Pidgin, he speaks. He's in Pidgin, he will talk. God say, make I tell you. Do you understand? Because that's the language that his human soul is educated with. When the light enters his spirit into his soul, that's the vocabulary that his soul has. So he's going to hear God in that way. And so many times when God speaks to your human spirit, your spirit is what is talking to you. You hear the voice of your inward man. And then sometimes you can actually hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in a very authoritative way. But most times it's the voice of your human spirit. And so if you train your spirit and you bring your spirit and your soul into alignment, it will be easy for you to see vision. It will be easy for you to hear God. When your mind is now renewed by the word of God, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So if your mind is renewed by the word of God, it becomes easy for the communications of the spirit to come to you, because God is never going to say anything that contradicts the written word. So that you can be praying and a scripture comes to you, and that scripture has enough authority to direct your life for the next 20 years. You are not seeing it as a scripture you got from Bible study. You are seeing it as actually the voice of God, the rhema of God coming to you. And so it's by the operations of the spirit, discernment, that we see vision, that we hear from the spirit realm. And so when you begin to build yourself in your priesthood, any believer who wants to access the spirit realm, who wants to know spiritual reality, you must be a man of the altar. Because an altar is a platform, is a gateway into the spirit realm. There is no man that does business with the spirit realm without an altar. So you see throughout the Old Testament, every time God encounters a man from Noah, after the flood, to Abraham, you will see Abraham was building altar. Everywhere he has an encounter with God. Even in Genesis chapter 18, where the Lord came to visit him with two angels, Abraham had an altar. Because an altar is a platform to access the spirit realm. An altar is a platform for spirits from their realm to fellowship with men in this realm. And so for us as New Testament believers, our altar is not a physical place. It is good if you have a room where you pray. It is good if you have a corner in your house where you pray. But actually, that's not your altar. Your altar is your heart. Your altar is your mobile one. That altar is within you. And you are the priest of God, and you are the altar of God, and you are the house of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord, and the spirit of God dwells in you? So your body is the temple, but your heart is the altar. And so as you begin to engage God, and because God is spirit, when you begin to engage God, the spirit realm begins to open. When men build an altar and start interacting with the spirit, The Spirit begins to fellowship with them. The Spirit begins to strengthen them. The Spirit begins to bring His counsel to them. So the Bible tells us that we are priests and kings. Even though in order, they say you are king and priest. But in order of functionality, we are first priests before kings. What is the job of a priest? A priest mediates between the visible and the invisible realm. A priest creates an altar, a platform for the invisible realm to access the visible realm. So if a priest is a mediator between the two realms, the visible and the invisible, the physical and the spiritual. So when we begin to carry out our priesthood, what's the responsibility of a priest? You offer incense. You offer sacrifice. You teach the law of the Lord. Read the Old Testament. Those are the responsibility of the priest. A priest will offer sacrifice. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 10. Moses was speaking to the tribe of Levi. He said, you shall teach Israel, Jacob, the law of God, and Israel the status of the Lord. He said, you shall burn incense before the Lord and offer sacrifice upon his altar. That's the responsibility of a priest. A priest is a mediator between the two realms. A priest burns incense and offers sacrifice before God. A priest reconciles men to God. How? By teaching men the law of the Lord. So as a believer, when you begin to carry out your priesthood, the spirit realm begins to open to you, because every spirit that you engage gives you access into his bounties, into his reality. So you see, for the children of Israel, the temple and the altar was the center and the circumference of their spiritual engagement. And so for us, priesthood is very key. Many believers want to function as kings, but our kingship is connected to our priesthood. You are only a strong king as much as you are a priest. Your strength as a king is dependent on your strength as a priest. If your priesthood is weak, your kingship is going to be weak. Because your kingship is before men. Your kingship is before the earth. Your kingship also affects demons and principalities. But you see, your priesthood primarily has to do with God. A priest must burn incense before God. A priest must offer sacrifice before God. When a priest begins to do that, the supernatural realm starts opening. So Abraham understood that when God spoke to him, he built an altar. So long as Abraham builds an altar in his life, everywhere he goes, he began to attract the presence of God. He began to attract angelic presence. You see, it happens that many of us, because of our African context, we understand priesthood and altar in the demonic more than in the word of God. The average person knows that a witch doctor cannot function. Any person that functions in the demonic realm cannot function without an altar. So people need to build altar, invoke a spirit, and then the spirit can war on their behalf. But many of us do not understand the power of the altar, the power of priesthood in our work with God, if you are going to access the spirit realm. So you see that in the Old Testament, the first time that the word prophet was mentioned was in connection to prayer. Genesis 20 verse 7. Restore Abraham's wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you. He didn't say, and he shall prophesy to you. He said, and he shall pray for you. And Abraham prayed to God. Instead of prophesying to Abimelech, he prayed to God, and God opened the womb of Abimelech's wives and all their servants, and they conceived. It tells us that the foundation of the prophetic ministry must be built on the ministry of the altar, on prayer. So Abraham understood that. So men who walk with God understand how important their priesthood is, how to keep their consecration, how to be in vital fellowship with God if you are going to hear the voice of God. So people in Africa know how demonic priesthood function. Many families, many communities, many tribes are in bondage because the ancestors raised a priesthood that gives demons and principality the legitimacy to hold them captive. And how did they do that? Maybe in the years past, your ancestors lived one time, there was no rain, and the crops were dying. And they went and said, Spirit of our father, Spirit of our ancestors, where are you? Come and help us. And they poured blood on the ground. Who told them, who taught them that when you pour blood, spirit appear? Who taught man that? Who taught our fathers in the village who were not born again that if you pour blood, a spirit appear? They've never read it in the Bible. You know, it was God who started that. It was God who taught man that. In Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, when man sinned, God was the first person to kill an animal and carry the animal's skin with the blood and cover man. So God was the first person to do that. So God will be angry with Cain, not because Cain did not bring good sacrifice. The reason why Cain's sacrifice was rejected was because there was no blood. Simple. He brought plants. He brought yam, coconuts, cocoyam, instead of bringing an animal. What God is seeking for is blood. There is no priesthood without blood. Leviticus 11 verse 17. 17 verse 11. It is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. So when our ancestors began to offer blood sacrifice, began to call on spirit, they didn't know that what they have raised in that place is an altar, and the spirit began to speak. It looks like the spirit will come and give instructions and bring good, and bring rain into the land. Demons can bring rain. I hope you know that. That's why the Bible talks about false signs and wonders. Demons can bring rain. People in demonic altars can help some people get children. So people began to do these things and offer sacrifice, and spirits started coming into the realm, and covenants were established, and demons began to seek legal hold over people, over community. Because when you needed help, you offer blood, and the demons came and helped you. And then the demon will now ask that one of you should be consecrated as a priest, so that instead of us talking to the whole people in the community, we'll find one person that will become the priest, will send our message to him, and he tells the entire community. That's how demonic priesthood begins. That's how people go into bondage and captivity. And so long as that altar is serviced, there will always be communication from the demonic realm. So the average believer in Africa understands demonic altars, understands how a demonic priest functions. A demonic priest is not powerful in every place. He's only powerful when he's in connection with his altar, because that's his life source. That's where he draws power from. That's where the spirit speaks to him and shows him things to come. So people who do divination will always go back and consult the altar that empowered them. People who do witchcraft will always appear in the night at the coven. The coven is the altar. So if you are going to engage the spirit realm, you must know the power of the altar. You must know the power of priesthood. If you are going to attract angelic activities in your life, you must know the power of the altar. You will see in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 4, sorry, chapter 8 from verse 3. It says when John said he saw an angel offering incense upon the golden altar that is in the throne room of God, and he saw the incense mingled together with the prayers of the saints, and it ascended to the throne of God, and a command was given to the angel. The angel used the same censer, took coals from the fire and cast it into the earth. So when a man begins to carry out his priesthood in the earth, your priesthood in the earth affects and influences the altar in heaven, and there will always be feedback. When the fire was cast into the earth by the angel, the Bible says there was thundering and lightning and earthquake and voices. It means there will be supernatural feedback from heaven every time we engage the ministry of the altar. Every time you stay in prayer, every time you fellowship with God, you condition yourself to access the spirit realm, because it is the altar that gives us access to that realm. So there is no man on earth that has supernatural power that does not know the place of the altar. There is no man. People who serve the devil know the place of the altar. People who do blood money, they must surely have an altar in their homes, somewhere that you go to consult with the spirit. You see, for us in the New Testament, we do not need to go to Jerusalem to find our altar. Our altar is mobile. It's inside of us. The spirit that we relate with is inside of us. It's the life-giving spirit inside of us. So every time you do business with the spirits, every time you carry your priesthood, the spirit realm begins to open and open to you. So you can stay in prayer. You are praying. You are talking to God. You are fellowshipping to the, with the spirit of the Lord. And that realm begins to open. Thoughts begin to come from that realm. Visions begin to come from that realm. You finish praying, you lie down on your bed, and you have dreams. Check it. If you are a believer, or you want to be a believer that will be having supernatural dreams, you must know the power of night prayer. If you are a believer who doesn't pray well in the night, check it. You will really be having prophetic dreams. Even if you have dreams, you'll be having dreams that don't make sense. Cock and bull dreams. You'll be having dreams that somebody is chasing you, which is doing this, this person is doing this. But if you are somebody who knows the power of prayer, you pray a lot in the night and you sleep. You know what? The anointing that rubs up on you as you spend time in prayer is going to influence your mind when you sleep. You are going to have prophetic dreams. You are going to have revelations of the night. And in those revelations, you will see angels many times. You have seen angels many times in your dreams where you did not recognize them as angels. Because angels can change form. Angels can come in different form. That's why Hebrews chapter 13 said, be kind to entertain angels, to entertain strangers. For many by so doing have entertained angels. So angels can come into this three-dimensional realm with human body. They can change form. They are spirits, but when God wants them to carry certain assignment on the earth that will need them to take a physical body, they can take physical body and appear. Even Jesus, before he came, before he came in his immaculate conception, there is what theologians call the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus was appearing to people in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 18, it was Jesus and two angels that appeared to what? To Abraham. They ate with Abraham. They drank with Abraham. The pre-incarnate Christ. That being that Joshua saw in Joshua chapter 5 was not an angel. It was Jesus, the Lord of hosts. The commander-in-chief of the armies was the one that showed up to Joshua. Joshua removed his sandals and washed it. It was not an ordinary angel that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. Because angels don't demand worship. But he asked Moses to remove his shoes for where he was standing, his holy ground. That's the angel of the Lord's presence. You will see that in Isaiah chapter 63. He said, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Who is the angel of his presence? Jesus. The Holy Spirit coming in human form, appearing and journeying with the children of Israel from Egypt. Because you see in Revelation chapter 19, when an angel appeared to John and John wanted to worship him, he said, do not worship me. Angels don't take worship. It was the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, the messenger of the Lord's presence that journeyed with the children of Israel. That's why the Bible says when they journey with him, they were that he was that rock that they drank from. Because Jesus was with them. He was the rock that they drank from. He was the water. He was with them. He appeared to Joshua. Joshua saw him, he removed his sword. Are you for us or against us? He said, nay, but as captain of the Lord's host have I come. Joshua advised himself. He removed his sandals and washed it. You don't worship an angel. It was the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord's presence that appeared. He was the same one that appeared to Moses. Do you notice when the angel was speaking to Moses in Exodus 3, he did not say the Lord sent me. He was speaking as God himself. Because that was the angel of the Lord's presence. So when a believer builds a robust prayer life, you are in constant fellowship with God. Angels will appear to you. You will see them. They will come always in your dreams. Sometimes they will come in human form. A few times you will be allowed to see them in their majestic states. But many times they will come in human form. They will bring counsel to you. That was what was happening to Joseph when he wanted to put Mary away. He was praying and contemplating about it, not to make a wrong decision. As he prayed and slept, an angel appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid to take her as your wife." When Herod wanted to kill the child, the angel appeared in his dream and said, "Take this child and the mother to Egypt." When everything was over, the angel appeared. Why was the angel always coming in his dream? Because dreams and visions are some of the ways that we receive transmissions from heaven. And when a believer begins to build his priesthood, the angelic realm begins to open. You begin to have fellowship not only with the Spirit of God, but also with the angelic realm. When you begin to know the angelic realm, there's a level of authority that will begin to come upon your life. The average believer is so concerned about demons. He wants to know everything about demons. But he doesn't care to know about angels. So priests would give us access to the realm of angels. You will see in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13, the Bible says, after the sixth angel had sounded, John says, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar. So the sixth angel was making proclamation. And what John was hearing was a voice coming from the horns of the altar. It means when we begin to keep our priesthood in the altar, we will hear voice. We will hear voices. Sometimes it will be the voice of the Holy Spirit you will hear. Sometimes it will be an angel coming to you, especially in dreams. An angel will come and give you business strategy. An angel will come and show you things to do. The people who serve the devil, they fellowship with all kinds of spirits. These are high-ranking demons. What we call different gods, Zeus, Amadioa, Shango, all the gods, they are fallen angels that men worship. They are fallen angels that were assigned by God over certain territories in the earth, and they rebelled and came into partnership with Satan. So they have been given territories already to rule over. Like I showed us last week from Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 8. To see that it's not only demons that are assigned over territories. There are also angels that God himself assigned over territories. He set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of God. So that for every demonic strong man that Satan assigned over a family or a territory, God also have an angelic strong man. And when you begin to engage priesthood, you will become strong, because you know that many times when you begin to pray and make declaration, you are conscious that there is an angel that is carrying out the command that comes from your mouth. So when a demonic person builds an altar, what happens? A spirit comes to inhabit that altar, so that every instruction and command that it gives, the spirit of that altar begins to carry it. So when we say somebody is cursed, what happens? A human being like you spoke some words. But because he was connected to a demonic altar, the spirit of that altar begins to carry his words to pass. That's what a curse is. He makes an enchantment. He releases a curse, utterances to bring hurt, to bring destruction, to bring affliction. And then the spirit of the altar that he's connected to begins to carry out that assignment in the life of a person or a people. In the same way, when we are men of the altar and we bless a person, the spirit of the altar begins to carry out the instruction. You can't know the spiritual realm. You can't be strong in God if you do not know the power of the altar. That's what empowers you. That's what makes you strong. So that you can sleep. You can be praying and you'll be caught up in a vision. You can lay on your bed and God will give you prophetic dreams. Job 33 from verse 14. He said, God speaketh now in one way, yet in another way, and men perceive it not. So it is possible for God to be speaking to you and you don't know it's God. He speaketh in one way, and yet in another way, and men perceive it not. And then he now comes. When God has been talking to you in one way or the other, and you can't discern that it's God, Can you see? God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceived not. So God has been speaking to you many times, but you are not perceiving it. And then he will decide to come, verse 15. In dreams, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in the slumberings upon the bed, verse 16, he opened their ears. Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction. The next verse, why? That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So God is trying to speak to you in one way and in another way, but you are not perceiving it. And then he comes to you in a dream, in a vision of the night, when you are slumbering upon your bed. He opens your spirit. He opens your ears and seal your instruction. He gives you counsel for your life. Why? Why does he do that? He said to separate man from his purpose. So that you don't go your way, you go the way that God wants you to go. Joseph wanted to put away Mary. That was the desire in his heart. But the angel of the Lord came in a dream so that Joseph does not choose his way, but rather follows the way of God. I find out that when I pray a lot in the night and sleep, oh, my nights are beautiful. I understand certain scriptures even in a dream. In a dream, I can be discussing with somebody and the person is talking about one scripture and revelation, light about that scripture comes. And when I wake up from that dream, I understand that scripture in a way I've never done. In a dream, I can be warned to stay away from some people. In a dream, I can be told about certain things to come. So when you're a man of the altar, the angel assigned to you will come to you a lot. He will come in your dream. Some people sleep and it's a demon that is assigned to them that come. And they call them spirit husband, spirit wife. You didn't pay bride price, yet you want wife. Is that not illegal? So the realm of the spirit is always interacting with this earth realm. And one of the ways God gives us access to see and hear in that realm is dreams and visions. As a believer, you need to pray. There were times I had prayed and asked the Lord to purify my dream channels. Some of you, you can be having a divine dream from God and suddenly there's a demonic interruption. Some of you, you just always have dreams of funny things. Your dream channel needs to be purged. And then when you pray a lot, your spirit becomes open. You can have a dream about the things to come. There are many prophetic utterances I have given that I've seen it play out in the lives of people and even in nations, and they came to me in a dream. One night I finished praying and I slept and I had a dream that I was in India and I saw Hindus burning churches and the Christians were running and holding their hands to pray. The moment I woke up from that dream, I didn't feel like praying again. I didn't feel like, you know, sleeping, and I went to the sitting room. I put on the TV and that's the news I saw, a live news going on of Christians being killed in India by Hindu. But I was actually dreaming it. I experienced those kind of things where God will give you preview of coming attractions, where you will see things to come. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will open your channels, your faculty to access realities. And then when you begin to pray, something starts happening where you become an intercessor, where you become serious with your prayer life and fellowshipping with God. You know what? Angels will be attracted to you. You know, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. It said, angels, are they not ministry spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation? So angels will begin to minister in your life. Many people have demons running things around their life. It's high time for that to change. That angels will begin to carry things around your life. Angels will go before you. Before you get to work and people are trying to set you up, an angel will move somebody in his office to go there and speak for you. Do you know angels appear to men? Philip was having a great revival in Samaria. Multitude of people were getting saved. An angel appeared to him and said, leave this place and go to Gaza, the desert of Gaza. He didn't give him explanation. Philip, because Philip was willing to obey God, he left the big revival and went to Gaza to lead one man to Christ. If it's many of us, we will not leave a mighty revival just to go to the desert to preach to one soul. It was an angel that appeared to Philip. I said, leave this revival. I know you are enjoying yourself. You are feeling like the great evangelist in town. He said, but go to the desert of Gaza. And when Philip went there, he saw the only person he saw passing that way was the Ethiopian eunuch on his chariot and going, reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip went close to the chariot and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man said, how can I understand? I don't even know if the prophet is speaking about himself or he's talking about another person. And Philip joined the chariot. That's where people like T.L. Osborne got the title for their book, Join This Chariot, talking about soul winning. That's how Philip joined himself to the chariot and preached Christ to him from that scripture. It was an angel that led him. You see, as you journey with God, as you grow in God, there are many angelic encounters. There are many supernatural encounters you will have that you will never speak in the public. There are experiences you will have that God will never allow you to share. You know, I was listening to a minister of God. Apostle Suleiman was sharing a story that he went to visit Pastor Adeboye. And when Pastor Adeboye came out of his closet, he was talking to him. And he told him that he was in his closet talking with Jeremiah. Now, some of us can be very religious. I beg, forget about those things. Which can Jeremiah? You are in Lagos by the expressway. You are deceiving people that are talking with Jeremiah. Those realms exist in God. You know, he doesn't even share those things on the pulpit. So if it wasn't a son that he told that brought it to the public, you will never know that he had those kind of experience. So the Bible talks about having experience of the powers of the age to come. There are certain experiences people have they don't talk about on the pulpit. When you begin to press into God, the experiences that you have become the basis for your confidence, your faith, and audacity in obeying God in your journey. God wants us to know the angelic realm. Many people know the realm of demons. Oh, there are many things I can't teach because of time. I wanted to talk about how to discern the activity of angels, how to discern the activity of demons. You know, we started by talking about the discerning of spirits as a much needed gift in these last days. The discerning of spirit will enable you to see and hear from the spirit realm. That's what late Papa Hagen will call the spirit of seeing and knowing, because he lived in that realm. Many times Jesus visited him. Many times angels visited him. He was caught up to hell. But he didn't write a book about my journey in hell and share to threaten people. He didn't write that kind of book to threaten people. He was in hell several times. He was in heaven several times. Paul talked about experiences that are unlawful to talk about. So it's not everything you see that you are supposed to disclose. The spirit of seeing and knowing will give us access into that realm to see and to notice, to hear from that realm. You see, that's one aspect of the operation of the gift of discerning of spirit. Another access, you know, operation of that spirit is to help us to discern between what is truth from what is false. Apart from the ability to see and encounter God in that realm, as you journey as a believer, you will need the operation of the discerning of spirit to be able to judge things, even to judge spiritual experiences. Because people have gone fasting and they have entered the spirit realm and they were misled by many spirits. And they thought it was God speaking to them. Things have appeared to people and they thought it was angels. But the fact that there is the false, would that stop you from seeking the original? The fact that certain people have made mistakes, they have encountered demons, fallen angels, and you were misled, does not mean you will stop seeking God. Does not mean you will stop seeking genuine encounter with God. But you will make your spiritual encounter, your spiritual pursuit to be built around scriptures. Every experience you have must be measured with scriptures. Must be judged with scriptures. The scripture is our boundary. It's our extent and limits of interpreting spiritual realities. So in the last days, we will need the operation of the discerning of spirit. It's called the discerning of spirits. It will help us to discern where God wants to move. Do you know you are ministering like this? The discerning of spirit can help you know what the Holy Spirit wants to do in a meeting. The discerning of the Holy of the Spirit will enable you to understand the operations of the Spirit, the operations of angels, the operations of demons, even the operations of human spirit. You will know when a man is speaking, and what he's speaking is not from God, it's from his soul. A preacher will not be able to lie to you if that is at work in you. If he lied, let him sugarcoat his words with all kinds of scriptures. You will know when God is speaking, you know where God stops speaking. Amen. Started speaking. Why? By discerning of spirits. Because the discerning of spirit does not only help us to see the spirit realm, it helps us to judge the source of an activity. So you know whether the source of this communication is from God or is from the devil or is from this human spirit, the soul of a man. So we need it in these last days. Because the Bible says in the last days, men will begin to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we will need the heightened operation of the discerning of spirit. The fact that somebody says he's a prophet, he tells you your name and do all of those things, and you are bamboozled. And then in the midst of that, he slips a counsel, a doctrine, an instruction of darkness. And many people fall for it. So the discerning of spirit helps you not only to see the spirit realm, but helps you to discern the source of an activity. We were somewhere with my wife in the service, and a prophetess was ministering, very anointed woman of God. She was ministering by the gift of prophecy and all of that. And then she entered a season and she started lying blatantly. I told my wife, I said, that was why I stopped following. I said, she saw gullible people, so she needed to lie to deceive them. And then she came to my wife, stood by us. She was ministering to everybody. When she came to the two of us, she came. Of course, she could discern our spirit. She couldn't say much. So she concocted some words to say to my wife. And after she finished, before she left, she looked at my wife and said, you should bring how much? That she should bring 20,000 after service. That's all spirit. Said 20,000. And I looked, I said, you are so small. You mean it's 20,000 that is your problem? Ordinary 20,000 that you can enter an eatery and spend in 5 minutes. That's your problem. That's why you are serving your belly. You don't know that God can bless you beyond this. It's 20,000 that is your problem. Discern of spirit. Test of spirit. In this day of deception, even, let me tell you, in the last days, people will have false prophetic experiences. You know, there's a time it was raining. You'll hear some people say they went to, sorry, if I'm Catholic, I didn't plan to insult you. That's not my plan. I'm just trying to talk. Some people say they went to somewhere and they saw a statue and Mary was appearing to people. Mary is in heaven resting. For God's sake, Mary is one of the disciples like every one of us. Mary is no more special than any of us. It's just that she was chosen to conceive the Messiah. She was part of the disciples of Jesus. Mary also received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. She too was waiting for the baptism like every other disciple. And then throughout the ages, you hear people say, Mary appeared to one Fatima, appeared to social person in Vatican. They saw Mary. They saw the Holy Mother appearing and giving instruction. Those are demons. I remember growing up, one of our childhood friends, his sister, people were coming to see her, that her body was glowing, that Mary appeared to her. And as little children, we'll go there fascinated. But as I grew up and I learned the word of God, I knew that was a demon. Because I watched her life after that time. Her life went downward. There was nothing to prove that she had a divine encounter. It was not Mary. It was a demon. Many years down the line, that lady that was so religious, that lady became a prostitute. But this was the same person they were taking her from different parish to different parish. She was sharing the things she claimed Mary told her. Mary is in heaven resting. She's surprised that people are asking her to pray for them on earth. It's like saying, Peter, pray for me. Peter is one of the disciples like every one of us. He's in heaven. Some of those experiences that people have, and they give all kinds of names, these are demonic manifestations. And in the last days, they will multiply. Deception will increase. So we need to know the Holy Spirit. We need to interpret every supernatural encounter we have within the framework of Scripture. Lest you emerge and say you are going on the 300 days fasting and you are not studying the word of God, you are not fellowshipping with the brethren, and one strange being will appear to you by your window. The Bible says, no wonder even the devil appears, pretends to be what? An angel of light. That means even demons can appear to you with light. So discerning of spirit helps you to know the source. When people don't build their prayer life, their ministry, and everything about them from the word of God, they easily go into deception. So you can see somebody who tells people vision, who do all kinds of things, the next thing is sleeping with people. I lived in a house in a city many years ago. When I entered into the house, I did not even know. It was then I found out that the landlord was a divine man. And people will come to his house from morning till night. They came to receive message. People will come from morning till night, take tally. They were receiving message. When I moved into the house, for the first 2 weeks, I could not pray. I would step out of the house, go to school on campus, pray with my brethren. When I come back home and enter the house, it's as if my house is filled with demons. I can't pray. I'll be oppressed in the night. I didn't know that I was living with the divine man. Side by side. I was living in his house. And then one day, I was begging God. I was crying. I said, what's happening to me? Am I backsliding? I'm checking my life and evaluating myself. And I was praying, and I looked somewhere close to the toilet, and I saw a strange broom that was put inside. A stick. When I brought it out, I saw stain of blood and some things on it. When I brought it, I literally feel like a spirit jumped out of the roof and came out of the house. A wind blew my curtain open right into that house. That's power showdown. You know, after that experience, the spirit of prayer came upon me. I was praying, I was asking God. Then I started discerning by the Holy Spirit that thing people are coming for is not the spirit of prophecy. It's divination and sorcery going on. And I wake up in the morning for 2 weeks before I go to class. I'll curse that spirit. You know what? One day the man and his wife woke up. In less than 3 months later, the both of them woke up paralyzed. And they could not live in the house. So the tenant gave the landlord quit notice. So they had to pack out and went to their village. The both of them were paralyzed. So I stayed there until I needed to move. And I came to Jos. That's the demonic. And church people were coming. They were calling him brother something. They said he was a member of the charismatic. He used to see vision. Said, he used to tell them of holy angel Michael, and those kind of people appear to him. I was passing one day, he was telling one woman, he said Angel Raphael came to him and gave him an instruction. We will see this kind of deception multiply in the last days. We need to build capacity in prayer. Angels are called to minister to the saints. Angels, in Psalm 103 verse 20, it says, bless ye the Lord, O ye angels, who excel in strength, who do the commands of the Lord, heeding the voice of his word. Let me tell you, there are four major things I see in the scripture that creates the platform for angelic activities around a believer, around a territory. Number one is prayer. Number two is praise and worship. Because when you praise and worship, God shows up. And everywhere the presence of God comes, angels shows up. Number three is the proclamation of the word. Where you proclaim the word of God under the influence of the anointing, angels go to work. He said the angel of the Lord excel in strength. They do the commandment of the Lord. They hearken to the voice of his word. So every time you proclaim the word of God under the influence of the anointing, angels are released to carry the word to pass. That's how miracles happen. That's how deliverance, healing, and breakthrough happen. When a man speaks under the anointing, angels go to work. Angels are not following the command of the man. Angels are following the presence of God that is upon the word. And number four is obedience. When a man lives in obedience, when a man lives obeying God, angelic activities become a commonplace around his life. Because he becomes such a treasure to the kingdom of God that God cannot watch him die. God cannot watch his life waste. Angels will be there to protect him. Angels will be there to open doors for him. Why? Because this guy is such a treasure to the Father. And angels will be there to defend him. Every time he carries out the instructions of God, angels will be there to fulfill his word. These are the four major things. And let me tell you, the platform that opened the door for demonic activities around people, around families and territory, number one is ignorance. We're going to pray shortly. Number one is ignorance. When people are living in ignorance, they don't know God. They don't understand the word of God. They don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. Demons take advantage of ignorance. Ignorance is a license to bondage. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So the Bible says, through knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. When the righteous doesn't have knowledge of Christ and who he is in Christ, that ignorance creates a platform for demonic activities around you. So you can be a believer and demons are holding you captive. You can be born again and demons are afflicting you in your body. So ignorance creates a platform for demonic activity, number one. Number two is iniquity. And let me tell you, when we talk about iniquity, iniquity that creates a platform for demons can be the iniquity of a man, can be the iniquity of his fathers. We will deal with that, you know, deeply. That the iniquities of your fathers can create a room for demonic activities around you. That's why there are people who are born again, they love the Lord, yet they are captives. Have you read the scriptures at the prayer of the mighty be taken away, or the lawful captive deliver? So there are people who are lawful captive. They did not sin, but the iniquity of their fathers, of their ancestors, opened the door for demons. Some people were dedicated to demonic altars. They didn't do anything wrong. I minister to people who have strange kind of sexual urge, strange kind of perversion. I was talking with a friend who was ministering to someone, and the person said his wife had slept with about 60 men in the last 7 years of their marriage. About 60 men, a married woman. In 7 years of marriage, she has slept with about 60 men. There is statistics to show. That one is not normal. That person has been dedicated to a marine spirit. And it was after 7 years the husband found out. It was after he lost his job and he was now staying at home that he found out that all along he was living with a public property he did not know. About 60 men in 7 years of marriage, a married woman, and the man never knew until the facts and the evidence started coming out and she started opening up. Opening up. There are many people who have been dedicated to altars and all kinds of spirit came into their life. See, if I go this way, it will take us a while to finish. Because this is one aspect I have taken time to search the scripture, to ask authorities, ministers of God, people who know God, who know the spirit realm. I've asked Apostle Aramel questions. I've asked several ministers. I've studied the scripture. I've asked the Lord for revelation. Because I see many people who love God, who are born again, under certain kinds of bondages that you cannot explain. You see believers with all kinds of oppressions that you cannot explain. All of these things are connected to foundational powers, iniquities that flows in the bloodline, that open the door for demonic activity. So the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? The righteous can do something. The righteous can go back into the spirit and fix the foundation. So, number one, I said ignorance. Number two, iniquity. Number three, idolatry. Number four, witchcraft. These are four major platforms that open the door for demonic activity around many people. And many people are even born again who love God. They are victims of demonic activities in their life because of these things. Some of the people are iniquity that they committed by themselves. Some are iniquity from their foundation. Idolatry that flows in your foundation. Witchcraft activities holding people bound. So in the last couple of weeks, I have prayed and counseled and spoken with people from several countries. I can tell you that from six continents of the world in the last 2 months, I've prayed with people from different, I don't need to mention the name of the countries because some of them are following us online. And I found out that more than 80% of the problems and troubles that people go through, including Christians, have their roots in the demonic realm. People who are born again, people who have been serving God in church, they have unexplainable problems and afflictions in their lives. That for you to just tell them you are a new creation in Christ Jesus is not enough. You need to understand the mysteries of the spirit realm. You need to know the word of God in a deep way to help these people. Because there is such a thing called legal bondage. So Isaiah says, shall the prey of the mighty be taken away, or the lawful captive delivered? So there are people who have become lawful captives. You know that when a slave is taken into slavery, every child that a slave gives birth to is a slave. I hope you know that. This is one of the mysteries that is responsible for captivity of many people. When your ancestors go into iniquity, idolatry, and witchcraft, the bondage transcends that generation. That's why God says, even the lawful captive shall be delivered. You see, I will contend with thee that contend with you. And I'll do what? Save your children. Why is it mentioning your children? Because a man can go into captivity, become a slave, and his children become slaves. So God says, when I come to deliver the lawful captive, even his children who are innocent, who did not do anything, but by virtue of the law of slavery became captives, he says, even them will be delivered. So there are many people who love God. They can't explain why there are certain levels of darkness, bondage, and affliction in their lives. Some people can't understand why there are patterns of delay in their homes. Some people cannot understand why in a family, people find it very difficult to marry. Why in a family, people cannot just be prosperous. It doesn't matter what they do. Why in a family, people have certain kinds of sickness. Why in a family, people die prematurely. There are a lot of these things that happen. Why it looks like if somebody rises, becomes influential, becomes great, and suddenly collapses to the ground. Certain iniquities. Some people cannot even explain why they can't make a headway with their lives. It's a mystery of legal bondage. That's why I told you ignorance is number one. Iniquity, idolatry, witchcraft. Read through the scripture. Witchcraft and idolatry are like Siamese twins. Almost anywhere you hear idolatry being mentioned, the next is witchcraft. What is idolatry? It is the service of demons, the worship of demons. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is very wide. There are different branches of witchcraft. Divination, necromancy, astrology, sorcery, all of them are branches of witchcraft. Witchcraft simply means to use the power of a demon for personal gain. That's what witchcraft is. When people use the power of demons for their personal gain, whether to hurt some people, to achieve something, that's witchcraft at work. And these things create demonic foundations for demons to hold people captive. I have ministered to people who pastors have poured oil on and did all kinds of things and proclaimed for their problems never ended until mysteries were unraveled. And then we carry out the instructions of God and certain bondages break out of their lives. When you are dealing with somebody, a situation that involves legal bondage, It's not just enough to say, I bind you in the name of Jesus, let her go. I was talking with our ministers, and I said, deliverance, which is the last part, because when we talk of spiritual warfare, we must start deliverance and how to break free, how to walk in freedom, how to experience breakthrough. You can't talk of deliverance only as somebody falling under power and breaking chair. Deliverance goes beyond falling under power and breaking chair. Deliverance is a legal transaction. If you do not understand this aspect I'm dealing, if you are trying to deliver people, you'll be doing fluke. It will work one time, it will not work another time, because you don't know the underlying mystery. You just think everything is to say, break in Jesus' name, come out, and the person is free. There are people you will do that to. They will fall down, manifest, break chair. They will leave and happy and say, I'm free. Tomorrow they are back into bondage. You know why? There are legal transactions in the spirit realm that give demons the authorization to hold them bound. Just saying, in Jesus' name, come out, is not enough. The demons will leave. After you finish the service and go, the demon is waiting for the person. He will still waylay the person. Why? Because they are legal transactions. Let me give you, for instance, if somebody commits an offense, breaks the law, and then he's taken to prison, is that person a lawful captive? He's a lawful captive, a lawful prisoner. He's in prison legally. And then you go and do prison break and break the prison, like what happened in Edo during Ensa's protest. And you release the people and they go home. Physically, the people are free, right? But legally, are they free? Police and lawyers are looking for them. The day they catch that person, they'll bind him back and take him to prison. He looks physically free. He may be in his house doing selfie and put it on Facebook. He's only feeling physically free, but he's a legal captive. He's a lawful captive. Government are looking for him. Police are looking for his house. Lawyers will carry their paper. The day they catch him, they'll bind him, show him his arrest warrant, and take him back to prison. Until the legal aspect of his imprisonment is dealt with, he cannot be free. You don't just say, I'm powerful, you break a prison and remove a prisoner. You must do paperwork. That's why people sign. That's why people pay bail. When you release somebody on a legal time, the person is free indeed. Nobody will come and arrest you. But when you do prison break and release the person is only free temporary. When the law enforcement agents catch the person, they will take him back, because there's a legal document that speaks against the person. What many believers and ministers do in the deliverance ministry is prison break. Are you following me? Follow this truth. It's prison break. Somebody is under bondage. You come in the name of Jesus, just bam! And then the person is free. There are certain kinds of deliverance that just say, in the name of Jesus, you break the chain, use your authority, use your faith in Christ Jesus, the person is free. But when the person's bondage has to do with legal bondage, that is not enough. You must understand the source of his captivity and deal with it legally. Or else it's prison break you have done. The person can fall down under power and break chair and get up and say, I'm free. Everybody is excited. She's free. She goes back home. The demons are waiting for her. Until the legal side of our bondage is broken. And God says even the lawful captive can be set free. How can the lawful captive be set free? There is a mystery in the cross of Jesus Christ that deals with legal captivity. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13. It says, we, even when we're dead in our trespasses, he raised us together with him, blotting out every handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. That is deliverance by dealing with legalities. When you talk of handwriting of ordinance, what are you talking about? That's a legal document. What is an ordinance? An ordinance is a law or a decree. So there are spiritual laws and decrees that was enforced for certain people and certain families to be held captive. And if those legal matters are not taken care of, prayer warriors will keep coming to the family to do deliverance. The people will not be free. Are there no families who hear people have come to pray 20 times and the people are still in bondage? Certain death is still happening. Certain wickedness is still happening. Why? There are legal matters that have not been dealt with. What many prayer warriors have been doing is prison break. But you have not dealt with the legal issues. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus blot out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. The next verse. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Many people, when they want to set people free, they are only binding the demons, the principalities and power. They are not dealing with the legal issues. There are people who came from family that through idolatry, the children of the family were covenanted to the devil. Through witchcraft, people's destinies were sold. And then you think you just come to the family and say, in the name of Jesus, all of you are set free. That's why if you study the scripture, you will know that the prophetic anointing is connected to deliverance. That's one of the key ministry of prophets in the Bible. Read the Bible. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. He delivered them out of Egypt. By a prophet, they were preserved. When God encountered Moses, what did he say? He said, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have seen their oppression, and I have come to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt that you may deliver them. And you will see how Moses delivered the children of Israel. There were different signs and wonders that Moses did, the 10 plagues. The last sign that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt was the sign of the blood, the Passover. And in that night, the children of Israel offered their sacrifice. They pour the blood of the Passover upon their doorstep and lintel because the angel of death was going to pass. You will see that in Exodus chapter 12, God told Moses, he said, I will pass through Egypt and I will go against all the firstborns of the Egyptians with their animals and even prisoners in prison. He said, and I will decree judgment against the gods of the land. So the principalities that were responsible for the bondage of the children of Israel were not each Pharaoh. It was the gods of the land. What are the gods of the land? The demonic princes that they worship, that Pharaoh goes to meet in the river every morning. They were the ones holding children of Israel in bondage. It was not Pharaoh. Pharaoh was just a puppet. God said, when I pass through the land, for allowing yourself to be used to hold my people bound, I will not only bring judgment to the firstborns of men. He said, I am going after the gods of the land, because it was the gods, the demonic powers, the principalities that held the people in bondage. And the sign, the power, the weapon that brought them out of bondage was the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. So blood, the blood of Jesus is a weapon that deals with every legal captivity. So as a believer, when you are engaging in spiritual warfare, you are trying to break demonic yokes, demonic powers, either against your family, against your territory, and all of that. While you are binding and doing all of that, you must deal with the legal issues. That's why you must depend on the prophetic anointing. That's why I started by teaching about the prophetic anointing, giving you access into the Spirit. Many times, as you are praying, if you are an intercessor and you are blind, there's so much you cannot achieve. Because spiritual warfare has to do with insight and revelation. David said, blessed be the Lord my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He wasn't talking about physical. He was talking about revelation being downloaded into his spirit. In spiritual warfare, you will need revelation. You will need download of insight. So in order to bring deliverance to people under demonic powers and demonic yoke, the believer will need to depend on the insight that the Holy Spirit comes. There are times you can pray over a family and bind all kinds of things, and the people are happy. Next week, bondage continue. But by the anointing, you can see the source of the captivity, transaction that goes on, and you begin to bring the power of the blood. Because the Bible says Jesus has become our Passover sacrifice. Just like the lamb was shed in Israel and the angel of the Lord went to bring judgment and pass over the house of the Hebrews, Jesus is our Passover sacrifice. When you begin to access the mystery behind the bondage of a person, of a people, and you start engage the power of the blood, that's how legal captivities are broken. So it's not just enough to tell a person you are free. There are certain kinds of deliverance that just saying you are free is enough for the person to be free. But there are some kinds of bondages that are legal bondages, lawful captivity, that you will need to go beyond just say, I bind you. You will need to have access to revelation before you use the authority of the believer to break the yoke of the devil. You need to deal with the law, what? The ordinances that were written. That means the legal papers that were the legal issues, the spiritual laws that the person broke or his ancestors broke that gave rise to bondage and captivity. You have to deal with that. That's why territorial deliverance, bringing people, territory, families out of bondage, is connected to the prophetic anointing. You don't have to be a prophet to bring certain level of deliverance, but at certain levels of deliverance and victory and breakthrough that you want to bring to people, you will need to seek God, to hear from God, to receive revelations. Because when you receive a revelation, the devil is already exposed. Then you can now begin to deal with the legal issues by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus blots out what? Every handwriting of ordinance that is against the people, that is speaking against the people and contrary to them. When you deal with that, then you can take authority and demons will go permanently. It will not be prison break because a legal document has been taken care of. When the person is set free, he's free indeed. No demon can hold the person bound. Hallelujah. I want us to do teachings and pray. As we end this series, we will end this series with ministrations. We will end this series in prayer and in prophetic ministration to deal with issues in people's lives. But you see, it's important for people to be taught. I told you, I said license, ignorance is a license to bondage. When people do not understand spiritual things, they will be captives to powers of darkness. Can we be on our feet? We need revelation to deal with legal issues. You don't just enter a territory and begin to bind principalities. You need revelations. And when you begin to pray, before you begin to confront any demonic power in anybody's family or in the territory, spend time in prayer, spend time in intercession as a priest and receive revelations from God. Let me tell you, my brethren, there is one key thing that many believers do not understand in bringing deliverance and in engaging spiritual warfare. This is a major aspect that is missing and is responsible for delayed issues in people's life that is not living. It's called repentance. Many believers do not consider this, that repentance is key. When you stand in the court of heaven and you are guilty, the only thing that can blot out your transgression is the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is efficacious to the degree to which we repent. That's why the Christianity that is trying to push away repentance is not of God. When Jesus came, he said, repent, why? The kingdom of God is at hand. So as you engage the kingdom, there will be need for repentance. Do you know the children of Israel were in bondage, were in captivity in Babylon? Listen to the prayer of Daniel. When Daniel began to pray, the first thing Daniel started doing was he started bringing repentance. He said, our fathers have sinned. They have departed from the law of the Lord. They have went after strange God. It wasn't Daniel that committed the sin, but he was doing what I will call identificational repentance. Daniel was bringing repentance on behalf of the children of Israel. It was after that repentance and supplication and intercession that an angel was dispatched from heaven. There are many things you can't deal with if you do not understand the place of repentance. It is repentance that makes the blood of Jesus efficacious to blot out transgression. The blood of Jesus cannot wash away the sin of a man that has not repented. Can a sinner just come to a crusade gang and they say, you want to be born again, and you do not repent of your sin, and you expect the blood of Jesus to wash you? No. It is when repentance goes forth that the power of the blood of Jesus is released to do what? To blot out handwriting of ordinances that is responsible for lawful captivity of people, of family, of territories. It is on that basis that you are empowered to take authority over demons. It is on that basis that you can spoil principalities and power. If the blood has not been applied to blot out ordinances, lawful decrees that is responsible for that person's bondage, your taking authority over principality and power will not produce any result. So many times you pray as an intercessor so that God begins to show you areas. And then you begin to bring repentance. When you do that, the power of the blood of Jesus begin to blot out the records. Records of iniquity. Records of idolatry. Records of witchcraft. Every satanic law and controversy that is against that person, the blood of Jesus blot it out. It is on that basis you can make decree and the powers of darkness will be broken. Do you know when Nehemiah wanted to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall? When he heard, the first thing he did, he began to bring prayer of repentance. He said, our fathers have sinned against you, so the enemy invaded us. Read throughout the Old Testament. You will find out every time the enemy takes the children of Israel into captivity is when they sin against God. And so a prophet cannot come to bring deliverance to a people that are lawful captive without dealing with the legalities that was responsible for their bondage. And when by the prophetic anointing, he receives insight into the legal matters, the legal transactions that warranted bondage in the realm of the spirit, the first thing he will bring is repentance. When repentance is made, the blood of Jesus goes out to blot out evil handwriting. And then you can now make decrees and your words will be binding. And demonic powers, principalities will be spoiled and defeated. And victory can come to your people. Deliverance can come. Can you lift up your hands? Can you bless the Lord? Can you say, Father, thank you for truth tonight? Can you say, Father, thank you for truth tonight? There are certain issues that you've been praying for. You've been binding the devil and it looks like the devil is not going. You need to ask the Lord, what is the legalities? What is the handwriting of ordinance that is against my family? The Bible said Jesus blotted it out. So when you bring repentance, the blood of Jesus will cancel every legal document that Satan brings to the courts of the spirit to hold your family bound. Then when you begin to make decrees, the power of darkness will be broken. Can you lift up your voice and pray and say, Father, open my spirit in this season. Open me up to revelations. Open me up to visions. Paul said, and I came to the visions and revelations of the Lord. Can you pray and say, Lord, open me up to visions and revelation. As I stay in the scriptures, open me up to revelation. Give me light. Give me light as I stay in the world. As I stay, give me revelation. Give me insight. Open to me the mysteries of the kingdom. Open to me the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to they that are without, it is spoken in parable. You need to go beyond parable and begin to access mysteries. Can you ask the Lord and say, Lord, grant unto me access by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let me begin to access kingdom mysteries. Can you say, Lord, the mysteries that I know in, that I need right now to break forth in the new season in my life, open unto me, Spirit of God. Open unto me, Spirit of God. In engaging the spirit realm, in carrying out spiritual warfare, you need prophetic insight. You need revelation. You need to stay with the scripture until a certain light break forth in your spirits. Then you can begin to engage demons. You can begin to break lawful captivity. You can begin to demand the freedom of your family. Nations can be delivered. Let me tell you, a nation can be delivered. Israel was delivered as a nation by one prophet. A family can be delivered. If a nation could be delivered, your family can be delivered. Your destiny can come out of the clutch of darkness. That every legal ground that gave demons the leverage and the authority over your life, over your family, they can be broken. Be
beyond a preacher making declaration. You can stay with God, stay in the world, search the scripture, stay in prayer until revelation begins to break out. And then you begin to bring repentance where necessary. There are areas you need to bring repentance. There are areas that all you need is to rise in authority and begin to bind the devil. And begin to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my family. Can you press on and ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation? There are a lot of mysteries of darkness that has been going on in the lives of families, and the people are born again, yet they do not know what to do. The Bible said when there was oppression and affliction and injustice in the land, God saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his right hand brought him salvation, and his righteousness preserved him. When there is iniquity, when there is oppression and bondage, collective captivity in the family, in the territory, God is seeking for intercessors. Men that will stand between the living and the dead. Men that will stand between the oppressed and the throne of God. And as you begin to intercede, the Holy Spirit will begin to give you revelation. You wonder why there's gross poverty in your family. You wonder why nobody is rising. You wonder why nobody is going all out for God in your family. There are mysteries of iniquity that give demons the platform to oppress. Shall the prayer of the mighty be taken away, or the lawful captive deliver? But thus saith the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. He said, I will contend with they that contend with you, and I will save your children. Your children can be saved. Your families can be saved. Spirit of God, come by revelations. Come by visions. Some of you will be taken in the visions of the night. You will go into many years back and see mysteries of darkness that were taken. Ezekiel was seeing bondage in Israel. He was seeing the people of God in captivity. He did not know what was the source of their captivity until the hand of God came upon him, and he was taken in the visions of the Lord, and he saw a hole in a wall. And the angel that spoke with him, he said, put your hand into that wall. Put your hand in that hole and go in. There was a door that connected into a temple. Ezekiel went there. He saw the elders of Israel burning incense. He saw them engaging the images of jealousy. He saw them standing before gods and idols and making sacrifice and covenant, which was responsible for darkness in the land. Maybe darkness is upon your family, just like Ezekiel. God will need to take you by the locks of your hair and take you into the spirit and show you the hole in the wall and show you the activities of the elders in the dark world. How their idolatry, how their witchcraft activities, how their iniquity have given demons license to oppress people in families. And Ezekiel began to judge them. In chapter 11 again, he was taken in the spirit, and he saw certain men, and the Holy Ghost says, these are they that give evil counsel and frame mischief in the land of Israel. He said, prophesy against them. Ezekiel saw the cabal that was responsible for captivity in Israel. It was the hand of the Lord by the visions of God that took him into that realm. He began to confront the assemblies of demonic cabal. And the Lord said, prophesy against them, O son of man. And he said, I prophesy against them. And it came to pass that Pelatiah, the son of Jazaniah, died. One of the princes of the people died. Because Ezekiel was taken in the spirit realm. He saw the cabals. He saw the covens of evil men. Men that give evil counsel. Men that say, this city is your cauldron. Do you know what a cauldron is? A cauldron is a witchcraft pot. where they cook meat, where they cook the destinies of people. Ezekiel was taken in the spirit. He saw the people. He saw the elders. And he began to prophesy against them. And Pelatiah, the son of Beliadah, it is time to engage your priesthood for revelations to be given to you. Why is there captivity? Why is the destiny of people not coming to light? Why is there affliction in your family? Why is there oppression in your family? Why are people not rising in your family? Why are people not being lifted in spite of all the hard work? Oh, there could be a mystery of iniquity playing in the realms of darkness that your eyes must behold. That's why an intercessor must be patient and continue in prayer until there is a breakthrough. An intercessor cannot afford to be blind. You cannot afford to be blind as an intercessor. You need to see the hole in the wall that leads to the temple of the image of jealousy. You need to see the elders that carry out iniquity and mischief in the land and begin to judge their works. When you see wickedness in the land, when you see all kinds of darkness, when you see wars and bloodshed in the land, according to Nahum chapter 3 verse 4, he said these are the activities of the seductive harlots, the mistress of witchcraft that sells nations through her harlotries and families through her witchcraft. So a nation can be sold in idolatry. A family can be taken into bondage by witchcraft. That a seductive harlot, the spirit of idolatry, the mistress of witchcraft, that spirit of witchcraft that is responsible for darkness in the land, for oppression in the land, our activity must be arrested. Can you say, Father, I stand by the power of the blood of Jesus. I stand by the power of the blood of Jesus. And I say every handwriting of ordinance that is against me, against my family, that is contrary to us, let it be blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Let it be blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Elamono sakaino felaito pariamonsala ilabaragadias. Maybe there are elders that have given themselves to idolatry and witchcraft and have raised an altar against your family and say no one will prosper. I say no one will rise. You need to invoke the power of the blood. I ministered deliverance to a young man who went to the university and studied and came out with first class. The day he collected his certificate, he ran mad. The day he collected his certificate, he ran mad. And I was in a meeting and the Lord gave a word of knowledge and gave mystery to deal with that and said, cause that altar in his family that is calling his name. Invoke the power of the blood. Let that covenant be broken. And from that day, his mind, his sanity was restored. Zelegida balaka peradilo osina kiamando lobosila ileno moko bela iko beleziza. I want you to invoke the power of the blood. Say, I invoke the power of the blood of Jesus over my family. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 11, he said, by the blood of thy covenant I have brought thy prisoners out of the pit. He said, today I declare I will restore to you double. It doesn't matter the captivity. The blood of Jesus can set people free. The blood of Jesus can break the chains of bondage, can break the yoke of oppression. Elamo shalaino efelekitoba beradilo silakaino milando robo silaka. Ah, shamaka, shamakando, mando rakilo, pelazila katolia. Say, I invoke the power of the blood of Jesus. I invoke the power of the blood into my life. Let every handwriting of ordinance that is against me and contrary to me, let it be blotted out. Let every spiritual court case, let every spiritual litigation against me, let it be blotted out. Every spiritual litigation against you, every court proceeding against your family, let it be judged. Let it be blotted out. Let every spiritual document that is speaking against you be blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Let every accusation, let every controversy, let it be blotted out by the blood of Jesus. 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 Lift up your hands, everyone. Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands, everyone. Father, I decree in the name of Jesus that by the power of the blood of Jesus, let every spiritual litigation against your people be blotted out. Let every demonic laws against your people be canceled. Let every satanic decree against your people be broken. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every handwriting written against your family, let it be blotted out. Have respect unto your covenant, O God. For the dark places of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. And so we command every decree of the devil, every satanic decree, let it be broken by the blood of Jesus. Let every evil hand of right handwriting against your family be blotted out. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll bring repentance on behalf of every life. We'll bring repentance on behalf of every family represented. We say, let the iniquity be washed away. Let their transgression be blotted out. Let the power of the blood of Jesus be invoked. Tonight, let the hand of God begin to go forth. Let the gods of the land that has held people bound and captive be broken. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let demonic traffics be broken. Let doorways and gateways for angelic transmissions be open. Be open in the name of Jesus. I decree gateway for angelic traffic to be open in your life. I decree gateway of angelic traffic be open in your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I say, let angels begin to ascend and descend. Let angels begin to ascend and descend. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for your people right now. Let channels of dreams and visions be purged by the blood of Jesus. Let your eyes be open. Let your ears be open. Begin to access divine revelations. Divine revelations to know what to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let angelic activities be released into your life. Let your spiritual senses be activated. Let the gift of discerning of spirit be activated in your heart. Let the gift of word of knowledge be activated. Let word of wisdom be activated. Let the gift of prophecy be activated. Let the spirit of seeing and knowing be activated. Let the eyes of your understanding be open. From tonight, enter a season of visions and revelation. Enter a season of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Begin to access the mysteries of your destiny. Begin to receive divine mysteries that will unlock seasons in your life. Mysteries that will unlock seasons of glory. Mysteries that will unlock seasons of manifestations. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I decree that your hands are strengthened. I decree that your hands are strengthened. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let visions be open. Let angels begin to stand by you. Let every evil covenant spoken against your family be broken. Let demonic covenants over your family break. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let demonic patterns be broken right now. I address every demonic foundation. I address every demonic activities. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Let them be broken. Let the angels of wealth be released into your life. Let the angels of prosperity be released into your life. In the name of Jesus, let light come. Let light come. Let light come. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let mysteries be unlocked in your life, in your family. Let the mysteries of your ordination be unlocked to you, that you will know what to do to enter into the seasons that God has prepared. Let counsel come to you in this season, that in your business you will know what to do. In your career you will know what to do. In your calling you will know what to do. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of the blood of Jesus over your home. Let every demonic veil be destroyed. Let every demonic covering be destroyed. Let the presence of God flood your home. Let the presence of God flood your home. Let the presence of God flood your business place. Flood your office. Flood your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. In Jesus' precious name. Let me tell you, victory does not just come by binding and losing. Victory for a believer begins with knowledge. Many people just want a preacher, a minister to lay hands on you and say all your problems be over. No. Your victory, your deliverance, your breakthrough begins with knowledge. There's only how much a minister can break yokes in your life. But there are certain things in your life. There are certain seasons that will open only when you begin to engage your priesthood as a believer. You begin to stay in the word of God. You begin to proclaim the word of God over your life. You begin to stay in prayer. Then revelations will be open. Just like Daniel. Daniel was praying. He saw that the children of Israel were in captivity. It was already the 70th year. They were not coming out of bondage. He began to pray. He began to carry out repentance. I'm sure the Holy Spirit started revealing to him the iniquities as spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. The idolatrous activities of the fathers that gave room to their bondage. And Daniel started bringing repentance. Daniel started bringing repentance. Bringing supplication and intercession. And in the midst of that, an angel came and said, I've come to give you skill to understand what is being written in the scripture of truth. When those revelations were opened to Daniel, and Daniel began to bring decrees. That's how Israel came out of captivity. Suddenly the king Cyrus came into the show, became king over the entire Medo-Persian empire. And he began to confirm the word of the Lord and release the children of Israel back from captivity. Why? Because a man took responsibility, engaged his priesthood, began to seek God until God started showing him the things that should be repented for, the things that should be dealt with. We have a generation of preachers. If you talk, they say you are living in sin consciousness. That you are teaching people to be sin conscious. Jesus has done everything. Jesus has done everything. Why is the lives of the people not reflecting it? Because we must know the finished works of Jesus, and by responsibility, we now begin to convert the finished works of Jesus into the manifest works of Jesus. I was praying a few days ago, and God gave me a vision. And in the vision, I can't explain some things in detail, but I saw God was showing me the mystery that is responsible for barrenness. Why some people cannot conceive? Why some people conceive and babies die in their womb? What you call miscarriage or stillbirth? What are the mysteries? He started showing me in a vision as I prayed. In the last few years, I've seen barren women conceive everywhere I go. And God started showing me. And he gave me an instruction and showed me something to begin to engage. He said, every time you do this, no barren womb will escape. He said, every barren person that you pray for will conceive. Whether it's spiritual barrenness or physical barrenness, people will become fruitful. Because I saw the demon.
I saw the demon called barrenness. We'll continue next week. And then we'll do thorough warfare and minister to people. Because there are many things you see as situations that people go through. They are spirit. So in the Bible, Jesus will talk about the spirit of infirmity. Infirmity is a spirit. I've seen it. You hear Jesus will talk about the spirit of deafness, the spirit of blindness, you spirit of dumbness. They are spirits. Barrenness is a spirit. I've seen that spirit. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll begin to experiment what you showed me. And it shall come to pass that we'll see people conceive and have children everywhere we go. Because the key of the kingdom is given. Just bless the Lord and tell him thank you. My prayer for you is that as you live here, the Lord will remove certain veils and certain mysteries will be open to you. Certain mysteries will be open to you. Certain mysteries will be open to you. Lift up your hands and bless him. Certain mysteries will be open to you. Oh, Father, thank you. 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 God is changing your season. God is changing your season. I see an angel of the Lord stand behind you. I see that presence of God come upon you. And God says, I'm changing your season and I'm wiping tears. You see, I'm dealing with the mysteries of iniquity. I'm dealing with the mysteries of iniquity. And in this season, you will see the judgment of God. The judgment of God will come through. And a demonic priest in your family is going to experience the judgment of God. He's going to experience the judgment of God. You know that demonic priest. The judgment of God is coming upon that person. And you are going to enter into a season of victory upon victory. Of victory upon victory. You are going to experience the power of God begin to come upon your life from this hour. Jesus! Jesus! The anointing is upon you. The anointing is upon you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. God is giving you encounters. God is giving you encounter. I'm seeing the anointing opening your eyes. You are going to see. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, watch the eyes of people with eyesalve. Watch their eyes with eyesalve. Watch their eyes with eyesalve. Watch their eyes with eyesalve. Watch the eyes of your people that your people will begin to see. That your people will begin to see. That your people will begin to see. The yoke of barrenness is broken tonight. The yoke of barrenness is broken over someone. That yoke is broken. That yoke is broken. That yoke is broken. It breaks. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree a new season. A season of fruitfulness. A season of fruitfulness over your life. Prosper in this season. Multiply in this season. I decree a season of the abundance of revelation. I see abundance of revelation. I see abundance of revelation. I see abundance of revelation coming to you from tonight. Coming to you from tonight. Coming to you from tonight. The angel of the Lord's presence is going to begin to come to you. He's going to open the curtains of eternity. And your eyes will behold unspeakable things. Father, thank you. We give you glory and praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord asked me to finish the teaching series and then we can do practicals. So that you will catch this revelation and run with it in your life. And so that you will become saviors and deliverers everywhere we go. Many people just come for prophetic meetings, want to hand come upon you, power, and then you just fall. I told you, I said deliverance is beyond falling under power and breaking chair. There are times you fall under power and you are delivered. But when deliverance involves lawful captivity, it's not just saying come out in Jesus' name. You must have revelation to undo the works of darkness. And it is teachings like this that brings us into revelations. When you go home and pray in this season, ask the Lord to unlock to you the mystery of your life. Gideon had to encounter that angel. There was oppression in the land. The Midianites were oppressing the children of Israel. Gideon was trying to hide wheat in the wine press, and the angel came to him and said, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon did not believe because he was used to poverty. He said, my family is the least in Manasseh. He was used to poverty. He was used to reproach. And the Lord told him to raise a sacrifice and offer a sacrifice. The mystery is that the angel told Gideon, he said, "Go and destroy the altar in your father's house." That was the altar that was responsible for bondage and captivity. When Gideon destroyed that altar and raised an altar to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the anointing came upon him. And the Bible says he blew the trumpet, and all day that the house of Abizarite gathered to him. It means there are certain people whose life will never be announced. There are certain people who will never be forces to reckon with. There are people that are meant to be mighty men of valor, but their lives will be nothing because there is a mystery of iniquity that must be dealt with. The Lord told Gideon, he said, even though you have a calling, but if you are going to be great, you must deal with that altar. It was after he pulled down the altar of Baal and raised an altar to the Lord. That was when the anointing came upon his life. The anointing to bring deliverance to Israel came upon him. If not, he would have remained in nonentity. I pray for you tonight that God will remove veils, that God will remove scales. Because the Lord says he will unlock spirit of revelation, the spirit of mysteries in your heart. You will receive revelations from the Lord. You will know what to do from today to deal with bondages, to deal with yokes of delay and stagnations in your life. You will walk in new seasons of freedom. You are blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you quickly bring an...
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by SpiritNerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with SpiritNerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.